Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we give you thanks. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we ask that you speak to us through your Holy Spirit, through your Holy Word. Give to us ears to hear all you are saying, hearts to receive all you are doing in our life. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Nice to be with you. It's been a long time. Looking around, I see many people who are young. Definition of young, it's very simple. Anyone who is younger than me is young. So by that definition, most of you are young. Seeing so many young people today makes me think of my childhood days when I was in school. When I was in school, I was in Marymount Convent, and I proudly wore this badge, a school badge, for 10 years. The school badge has a motto, and the motto says, God is our light. God is our light. I was so happy to wear this badge for 10 years. Sadly, I never knew what it meant. I never understood that Jesus is the light of the world. As John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Many years have passed since I left school. I now understand what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. And in the passage that was read for us from John 3, we find two important characteristics of light. Firstly, light enriches life. And secondly, light exposes dirt. In John 3, Jesus is speaking to a man named Nicodemus, and they're talking about many things. They're talking about being born again. They're talking about how the wind blows. And then Jesus says something unusual. John 3:14-15, he says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. These words may not make so much sense to us, but definitely Nicodemus understood what Jesus was referring to. Nicodemus was a leader, a religious leader of the Jewish people. In those days, religious leaders would spend many hours every day studying the scriptures. Not only that, they would even memorize all, and I say all, of what we Christians call the Old Testament. And that's really marvelous, because I think many of us can memorize the Psalms here and there, but the Jewish leaders of that time, they could memorize all of the Old Testament. So definitely Nicodemus, he knew that Jesus was referring to this incident when the Israelites were in the wilderness. It was a very, very long journey. The sun, very hot. No water to drink. The journey seems endless. They're just walking and walking and walking and not reaching their destination. Thirsty, hungry. Oh, there's food. But the only food they had was called manna. And they hated manna. And so they began to grumble. And they said, why did God bring us to the wilderness to die? Why didn't he just leave us in Egypt? They complained against Moses. They complained against God. Why were they so grumbling about the food that they ate? This food called manna. Any idea how long they'd eaten this food? Every day, same food, 40 years. 40 years! Some of you here are not even 40 years old. Can you imagine eating the same food every day? The Israelites said, we can't take this anymore. We've had it. And so you think maybe they've got good reason to complain. Some of us, if we eat the same food for 1 week, we already say, no more. No more of this. We cannot take it. But they had the same food every day, 40 years. Were they right to complain? This is what happened. Numbers 21, verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. God sent fiery serpents. What is a fiery serpent? Bible scholars think it's not that the snakes were on fire. It's not that the snakes looked like they were glowing with fire. But rather, the word fiery for serpent means that when the poison entered the bodies of the people, it was like fire burning up their bodies, consuming their bodies, terrible agony, fire burning them. And why would God do such a thing? Why would he send fiery serpents to bite the people? I believe he's wanting to show the people in picture form what happens when we grumble. To us, maybe grumbling is fine. We all grumble now and then, some of us more than others. But when the people of Israel grumbled about food, they forgot that this was actually God's gift to them. Psalm 78 verse 25 says that manna is actually the food of angels. Amen. Have you ever longed to eat in the most expensive restaurant in Singapore? You know that manna is better than the food of the best restaurant in the world, because manna is the food of heaven. Manna is the bread of angels. So every day for 40 years, God was giving the Israelites the best. There was no finer food. But even the best could not satisfy their cravings. And so sadly it is with us, it is with me, that if I have a lot of healthy food, I begin to crave other kinds of food. I don't crave more healthy food, but I crave junk food. I crave rubbish. All that is oily and salty and so delicious. I crave that. Are you like that? That's how the Israelites were. But here they're in a situation, grumbling, bitten by snakes. They're in terrible pain and agony, fire, poison raging through their whole bodies. In desperation, they cried out to Moses. They said, "We have sinned. Pray to God for us." Moses did. And Numbers 21, verse 8, God said, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, he shall live." So this is what Jesus told Nicodemus about. John 3, 14, 15, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Jesus said, the Son of Man, referring to himself, must be lifted up. We may not understand this, because to us, lifted up can mean anything. Maybe we're thinking of raising our hands, but no. In New Testament times, if you use the phrase lifted up, you mean just one thing, crucifixion. It was understood as crucifixion. So Jesus said, he, the Son of Man, must die on the cross, that whoever looks at him will be saved. And this is actually a major characteristic of light, because light enriches life. Jesus, the light of the world, he enriches life. In the natural, we know that all living things need light to be healthy, to grow and be strong. We know this is true of plants. If plants go many, many days with too much rain and no sunlight, the plants begin to suffer. People also suffer if they go long periods of time without light. And there's a good reason for this, because if we lack sunlight, there's a deficiency in our body of serotonin. And serotonin is a hormone that affects our mood, it affects our sleep, it affects our appetite. Serotonin makes us feel happy. So, long periods of no sunlight, we get depressed. Dogs also need sunlight. Dogs love to sunbathe. They love to sit in the sun and burn up for hours. That's their joy. In the natural, light enriches life. In the spiritual, Jesus, the light of the world, enriches our life. He gives us not only life, but he gives to us abundant life. You remember when Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole, God said, whoever looks at this bronze snake will be healed. His life will be extended. And so too, when we look at Jesus, the light of the world, we receive healing and we receive life, abundant life. We receive healing not just physically for our bodies, but also emotionally. There's a man named Joseph Scriven. He was born in 1820 in Ireland. At the age of 25, he emigrated to Canada. He met a young lady, they fell in love, they decided to get married. But one evening, just the evening before the wedding, this young lady suddenly drowned and died. Shocking, terrible. A terrible tragedy hit Joseph Scriven. Time passed. He met another young lady. Again, they planned to get married. But just before the wedding, this second lady fell ill and died. Such terrible tragedy. Who can deal with so much pain, so much heartache? Joseph Scriven learned in that time of indescribable pain that there's a friend that he can turn to. And because he turned to this friend and received emotional healing from this friend, he was able to give healing, to give comfort to countless generations of Christians. And how did he do this? He wrote a song. Let me read to you the words of this song. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Jesus gives to us not only physical healing, but also emotional healing. What is our need this morning? Sickness in our body, we need healing. Pain in our heart, and we need healing. This morning, let us ask Jesus, let us look to the light of the world. He is the one who enriches our life. Light not only enriches our life, but it also exposes dirt. Light exposes dirt. The words of Jesus in John 3:19. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. All we have to do is look at the light of the world. All we have to do is come into the light, and we receive healing, we receive life, abundant and everlasting. But some people will not. And the reason they will not is because Jesus said, their works are evil. They do not want the sin in their life to be exposed. They would rather walk in darkness. At home, I'm something of a cleanliness freak. I hate dirt in my home, and if I see any dirt at all, I'm very quick to reach for the vacuum cleaner and clean up my home. There are some times, though, when I'm so happy, and I think my home is perfectly clean, until the sun shines in from the window, and then to my horror, when the sun shines on the floor, I see, to my horror, oh no, the floor is still dirty. It is still filthy. Light exposes dirt. And this is what some people do not want. They don't want the light of Jesus to shine on them, to expose the sin in their life. And so Jesus says in John 3:20, everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. How about us? Would we rather have the light expose our dirt so that we can come clean before the Lord, repent of our sins, and change? Would we rather do that? Or would we rather people look at us and say, you're good, you're a good person? Deep down in our hearts, we know we're not. but we like people to think we are good. What is our choice? In closing, let me tell you about my dog. This is my dog. Her name is Yaron, which is a Hebrew name meaning full of joy. You know, when I show this picture to people, a common response is people will say, "So beautiful, so beautiful." And I never dare to ask them, "Do you mean my dog or me?" I never dare to ask them. I just continue to think what I want to think. But let me tell you about Yaron. One day recently, I was at home, working from home, actually on a Zoom meeting. And the Zoom meeting was about halfway through, when suddenly Yaron began to run madly, furiously around my home, running round and round and falling down many times. She'll fall down, get up, run, fall down again, many times. I was busy with the Zoom meeting and I couldn't attend to her. But I was, of course, very upset, very worried. And I'm wondering, why does this dog keep falling down? And then I saw the reason. It's because, you know, when dogs run, their paws pick up dirt on the floor. That day, it so happened, Yaron had shed a lot of her hair. It had fallen on the floor. And so as she ran, the dirt got stuck to the underside of her paws. Obviously, her paws became very slippery, and that's why she kept falling down. And I'm so upset. My poor dog keeps falling down, and I cannot help her because I'm on the Zoom meeting. No idea when the Zoom meeting will end. And I continued to be upset until the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and the Holy Spirit gave to me understanding. He said, "This is what happens when we don't deal with sin in our life, when we allow sin to cling to our life, when we don't want the light of Jesus to shine and expose our dirt, but we allow sin to accumulate in our life, we also will not be able to walk properly, but we will keep falling down." So when the Holy Spirit gave to me understanding, I said, "Yes, Lord, this is why we must deal fast with sin. Not let it accumulate." And so this morning, I ask, what is our choice? We can remain in darkness. No one will ever guess what sins we have. Or we can come to Jesus, light to the world, shine on me, expose my dirt, that I may repent, that I may receive healing and life. Let us come to the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to just play some music as all of us just close our eyes and come to the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the makara mashara samash. Sure, the bakara mashara shasa. Oh, the bakara mashara samash. Oh, the bakara mashara shasa. Lord Jesus, we ask you, light of the world, to shine upon us. Help us to see our own dirt, our own failings. For we are so quick to point out the sins of other people, but so slow to see our own sins. So Father, even now, as the light of Jesus shines upon us, I pray, Lord, for everyone here, here in this sanctuary, here with us on live streaming, everyone who is crying out to the Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal my sins, that we may repent. Lord, we thank you that your word says that you are faithful and just, that when we confess our sins, you will forgive us. We will be as righteousness in your eyes, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So, Father, we commit our sins to you, Lord. We ask for forgiveness. We ask, Lord, that you help us to change, that we will never return to to these sins, and we will never let dirt accumulate in our life, but we will deal promptly with every sin that you show to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now I want to pray a special prayer for anyone this morning who needs healing, physical healing, emotional healing. If that's you this morning and you need God's healing touch, wherever you are, will you place your hand over your heart or over your head or any part of your body that hurts, any part of your body that needs healing, on your heart, on your head, or anywhere in your body. Just do this quickly and we'll pray together. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we come to you in faith. We look to Jesus, the healer, in faith. And we ask, Lord, that you heal us of every sickness, every infirmity, every heaviness that weighs upon our heart. And Father, even as you give us new life, abundant life, help us, Lord, to rejoice. Help us to bear the light of Jesus in our life, that the world will see Jesus shining. We give you thanks, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.